Well, it's that time again. Time to welcome you into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with co-host Jay Randolph Jr. Of course, you might know him better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, it was a busy week, certainly, Jay, in the world of professional golf. I'd say the move to Florida from Mexico for the WGC Workday Championship at the Concession was a good move. And before I bring you to the tee, Jay, I just want to alert our listeners to the fact the first half of this show is a result of the production of our excellent producer, Janice Self. Midway through, we're going to make a big change, and you're going to be hearing things that I think you're going to be surprised to hear. But right now, Jay, Colin Morikawa, he stayed focused. He was on track all week. He's the real deal. He wins his fourth PGA Tour title.
Bob, I was looking at his bio page, and there's a lot that sticks out. But he turned pro in 2019, and he's made $9.5 million. it was a tremendous performance by the PGA champion, the reigning PGA champion. Colin really had struggled a little bit in some of his final rounds when you look back here recently, but not. On Sunday, he really impressed me. Just fantastic. He played solid really throughout, but a nice 69 the final day after a 73 the previous week at Riviera. A solid stuff from Colin Morikawa. And, Bob, he's up to number 4 in the world.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Before we go any further, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Jack Nicklaus, Tony Jacklin design where they played the Workday Championship, the Concession, although most of the members call it the Concussion. Your thoughts on the track?
I really liked it. I loved seeing early in the week. You know, I mean, it's a golf course we don't know, which is kind of rare on the PGA Tour, even the majors where they go to every 7 to 10 or 12 years or whatever. Us golf geeks have known those golf courses, but this one was really new to us. I really appreciated a flora design with some of the runoffs and things that they had. I loved earlier in the week learning more about the story of the golf course with Jack and Tony Jacklin. I think they're going to find a way. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from our friends in Mexico, but I think they're going to find a way to get a tournament at the Concession here pretty soon on a regular basis.
Boy, I certainly would be behind that. As far as that victory, he joins Tiger Woods, Jay, as the only player to win a major and a WGC event before turning 25.
You know, there are a lot of comparisons that people are making about Morikawa and Tiger and some of these victories and that situation. Where I see Morikawa and you know, have at least so far a little bit of Tiger Woods is his focus and keeping himself and his game under control. That's what was so incredible about Tiger, you know, holding everything together at so many high points. Well, Morikawa is starting to prove that to us in front of our eyes. You know, we've talked about Matthew Wolf, we've talked about Vic Hovland, Morikawa, and that trio of guys. I mean, like you said, Morikawa now joins Tiger Woods as the only player to win a major and a World Golf Championship before turning 25, and he did it in 7 months.
You know, it's amazing also, and I'm sure you appreciate it. Morikawa doesn't have that big head. He had problems with his chipping. So who does he ask? He asked Paul Azinger, one of the best chippers that ever lived. He had problems with his putting. So he asked Mark O'Meara, one of the best putters. I mean, come on. This is a young guy with no ego, super talent, and not afraid to go and get answers.
you know, well beyond his years, much like we said about Jordan Spieth back in the day. I'm not using them as parallels necessarily to say that's what's going, you know, that's going to play out anyway, the shape or form the same way. But I'm really impressed with his demeanor and his attitude on the golf course and not letting things affect him. I think that is so important. That's one of the things that the guy who doesn't have a major, that's one of those young guns, John Rahm, has to channel and battle with, where it seems is more a ecologist rolls with the punches.
Hey, Jay, let's go to Morikawa and listen to what he had to say.
Oh, man, it's so huge. And no matter what anyone says, you know, sleeping on a lead, it has, you know, has its pressure, has its nerves. But I was excited, you know, to get back in contention, to have a chance to win. It's something that I miss. And, you know, obviously I haven't had it for a while, but this is what we love to do. We love to win. And it's a tough thing out here, but it's why, you know, this tournament means so much. You know, it's with how good the field was, how good my game felt, to close it out like this with such, you know, a stacked leaderboard coming after me, it really means a lot.
What a talent, not only with his clubs, but what he has to say.
He really does. I mean, he's... it's like he's ready for the moment, Bob. I mean, this has been a tremendous, you know, 9-month run where Morikawa has really said, hey, I'm one of the best players in the world. And the beauty of it is right now, getting on a peak, heading into the rest of the Florida session with the players, then Augusta. I mean, he's on a roll right now.
Well, that wind... certainly baffled a lot of the players, including the world's number one, Dustin Johnson. But there's a player that I have to mention on the Grill Room because you have to be impressed. How about somebody that makes 7 birdies in a row and then throws up a quad on the scorecard and then continues on as if it never happened? I mean, that was mind-boggling.
I mean, to see that scorecard and then see him shoot 67 the next day and finish second. I mean, we said it a moment ago. We talked about kind of the big three that were emerging, you know, 16 months ago. Wolf, who has that inconsistency of a power hitter. Hovland, who seemed to be honing his game and who a lot of the experts thought was going, you know, may and still may end up with the best career. But Morikawa, who is, you know, in a higher regard right now. But Victor Hovland, every week, Bob, you know, I mean, you look at this guy, he wins Mayakoba. He finished, he didn't, you know, his first go around at Kapalua, tied for 31st, probably enjoying himself. But then he ties for 2nd out in San Diego, tied for 5th at NLA, and then T2 at the concession. He's up to number 4, I think, on the FedEx Cup standings and something like 13 in the world.
I mean, amazing, amazing talent. He has a unique way of driving that golf ball. You know, two things about Hovland's drives, they go far and they go straight. I mean, pretty tough way to play the game.
Absolutely it is. And Brooks Koepka is clearly back, and the injury is no longer a factor as he ties for 2nd with Billy Ho, Billy Horschel, who's a good Florida golf course player. Rory continues the beat. Just doesn't get the gold record, if you will. He and Louis Oosthuizen and Webb Simpson, who just decided to play and come out and finish tied for 6th. Justin Thomas tied for 15, a little better than obviously the way he played at Riviera. Bryson, you know, all over the joint, you know, a unique golf course for him to play. He has played well at Bay Hill, which we'll talk about a little later, and Rombo not firing on all cylinders at the first Florida event. He finished tied for 32.
Well, I alerted the listeners at the top of the show, and the wick is down, the explosion is about to come. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. A lot of players chose to wear red and black in the final round. I honor Tiger's contribution to the game. Are you kidding me? This guy was involved in an accident that could have killed people. And there has not been one report out of the accident. It's like it didn't happen. There are no skid marks. There are no brake marks. There's no explanation for what Tiger did. And he's being honored like a hero. Stop it. Stop it. Tiger doesn't deserve it. He was magnificent on the golf course, but off the golf course, there is no excuse for not letting us know, and I mean the world know, what happened to cause that accident. They're making believe like it was divine in well, I can't even say the word, I'm so upset. But anyway, I mean, it's crazy. I witnessed them taking this black box out of the car, and the statement was made, boy, this will tell us everything. This will tell us where his eyes were focused. This will tell us if he hit the brakes. This will tell us how fast he was going. Suddenly, the black box has disappeared. I'm sorry. You and I have idolized Tiger for the longest time. And what he does on the golf course is unbelievable. What he does or has done for him, I should say, off the golf course is equally unbelievable. Take over, Jay. I'm about to pass out.
I mean, to tell you, I've known my man since the PGA in 1992 at Belle Reve, and this one's got me. And I spent a lot of late afternoons with him on a stool. let me tell you, you have a very interesting take, Bob, and a very strong opinion. I saw about an hour ago that somebody, I don't know whether it's media or legal, has now requested the information from the black box to be given. So I know exactly what you're saying. As the way it was termed, players choosing to wear red and black in the final round to honor Tiger's contribution to the game. You would not deny that contribution. I think it was all a little quick. I think that, you know, maybe you save that for Sunday at Augusta if everything is, you know, gone through the process and he's healing and all those good things. We knew when this occurred, and Bob and I have been there when the man is moving his finger around, Mark Steinberg, to wrap up an interview, that this was going to be as controlled as they could make it. Bob, have been a little surprised. I will say that there hasn't been more of a, I don't want to say outcry, but more of an investigation into what occurred, because you said there are so many questions. But I appreciate your strong take, and my DraftKings team was so bad last week that it's hard for me to get upset about anything after the disaster I had last week at DraftKings. But I think that it's surprising that we haven't seen more in terms of information come out.
All right, let me explain to our listeners just one incident that helped that helped shape that opinion. Okay, I was asked by people to cover Tiger when he was going to play in Munich, Germany. So I get on a flight, and I fly to Munich, and I get out to the golf course, and Tiger's going to have a press conference. And he has his press conference. I'm waiting just off the stage where he will be coming. And I say to Mark Steinberg, like to just get a minute with Tiger. No. Too busy. He's too busy. I said, Mark, I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask Tiger himself. And I just burst ahead. I said, Tiger, I'm here all the way from USA. Do you have a minute for me? What do you need, Bob? And, you know, to think that Steiny thought that he's going to tell me that Tiger doesn't have time when I made the effort to go from U.S. to Munich, Germany? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Bobby is fired up today, folks. You can hear it in his voice. And I do think we do need explanation and a little finality. I mean, they've still been extremely quiet on the injuries. So we'll see how that plays out. Annika, who I know you love, wore red and black in her LPGA event, as Phil did on the Champions Tour, as we both agree. Maybe it was a little premature. And we'll talk about Annika in a moment, but they also played a secondary event, and Brandon Grace gets back into the winner's circle, and it was emotional, folks. He had lost his father due to COVID a few months ago, been a rough time. He came back on tour at Pebble. You know, he has not maybe played the way that he thought. Bob, let's hear from Brandon Grace and the emotion of the last couple of holes.
Yeah, obviously COVID, you know, COVID had its impact on everybody, I suppose, over the last couple of years and so. And, you know, it was an emotional day. You know, I thought about him a hell of a lot out there. And, you know, especially the last tee shot, I was really struggling with the last hole, you know, because I knew he was watching over me. I knew he was guiding me. And, you know, and I know he's in a better place now, but we miss him dearly. And, you know, it's just been it's been a great way to... you know, to a tough time that we've had the last couple of months. I was really playing some good golf coming into this week, and you know, knowing what the golf course is going to offer. You know, when I got here, it was firm, it was breezy, and that's what the locals said is going to be like this the whole week. So, you know, I love playing in the windy conditions. I see the shots, I love feeling the shots and things like that, and really, you know, moving the ball out there, and you know, just played some flawless golf this week.
What a tribute a son paying to his father, Brandon Grace. Certainly a class act.
Yep, beat Johnny Vegas. I mean, Johnny Vegas just pops up once in a while and says, yeah, I play good this week. And he finishes second. Way to go, Brandon Grace. On the Champions Tour, they finally stopped Mickelson. Mike Weir had the golf tournament kind of in his control until the last nine holes. He made bogeys. Kevin Sutherland makes birdies. His fifth PGA Tour Champions title. Kevin Sutherland wins by two. He's won five times now out on the Champions Tour, Bob.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it always seems like when you turn on coverage from Arizona, be prepared to see Kevin Sutherland. He must love it out there. I mean, he is the most unlikely guy to dominate an event that you would ever look at. All he does is hit it down the fairway, hit it on the green, and if he doesn't make the birdie putt, he's got a give-in par putt. Congratulations, Kevin Sutherland. And now one of our favorites. You mentioned her name. I'm proud to say that I was in Boulder, Colorado. I forget the name of the... resort now.
Broadmoor,
right. And yep. I shouldn't forget it, because I remember when I went there, I met the manager of the Broadmoor, and I said, hey, my last name starts with Bub, with a B for Bubka, and I know the Broadmoor has a lot of stuff with B's on it. Any chance I could get a little sample? Well, in my room was a box packed with everything B on it. I said, whoa, I think my bill shipping it home was $100, but probably $500 worth of stuff in there. And then I was down in North Carolina, Pine Needles, where she won her second Open in a row. And she came back to the LPGA Tour. Hey, Jay, what a sweetheart of golf. What a talent. And what a great thing. After 13 years, she makes the cut.
She has the highest percentage of cuts made for any player all time, more than Tiger. You know, she didn't play the way she wanted over the weekend, but God bless her. What a great story. And the more we see of her making cuts or not, or playing great or just playing okay. Annika is great for the game and does so much for it. Nelly Korda, the Korda sisters, getting it done. But this time Nelly was the winner. Annika says her next event's going to be the U.S. Women's Senior Open. Watch out, girls. She'll be ready for that. After a quick word about Gateway National Golf Links, where I hang my hat, we'll take a look at what's going to happen at Arnold's Playground, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It's all about Arnie this week, and we'll tell you about it right after this. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning link-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way, and the best rates are online at gatewaynational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com. Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay. You can find me on Twitter, STL Golf Geek. And I apologize if you watched the DraftKings show last week. I sincerely apologize. Hopefully it was better this week. It airs every Tuesday at 4 o'clock on Twitter. Bob Bubka is at Bob Bubka, V-O-G. That V-O-G is for Voice of Golf. And Voice, no player has won multiple tournaments through 20 weeks, which is the longest streak to start a season since 1994, when it took Nick Price 21 weeks to win his second.
Yeah, will it happen this week? I'm flabbergasted that we've had no repeat winners. What does that tell me? That tells me the depth of the PGA Tour is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. More young talent coming on board, tougher to win. Who knows how long it'll go? Certainly, the Invitational at Bay Hill will provide a good test, pretty good chance. Yep. Somebody that's won earlier this year will get victory number two. At least that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what your thoughts are, Jay.
No, I think there's a very good chance. I mean, the one thing that everybody's talking about, and it's become a trend down there, is that the last five winners are all foreigners. Okay, well, that means maybe it's time for a change. maybe that means, you know, at some point that's going to change. You know, this golf course played a totally different last year because of the weather conditions. It looks like it's going to be good weather this week. You got so many guys playing well. You know it's going to be in fantastic shape. You know they want that cardigan sweater that they get now with the Arnie logo and the whole thing. I mean, this is Arnold's place. The last time I paid to play golf was 1998 at this place. and I only paid a cart fee. But this is a big one. And Tyrrell Hatton, I mentioned the success of the internationals. A lot of them just love this golf course, and a lot of them hit it straight. And that's what you got to do here. Some of the featured groups, I mentioned the international flavor. Here you go. Tyrrell Hatton, Francesco Molinari, and former champion Rory McIlroy, who, you know, at some point it's going to click full on. Jordan Spieth, who I'm not sure has ever played at Bay Hill. Is paired with Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Rose. What an interesting trio that would be to follow. Patrick Reed, who always plays well here, Bob Max Homa, victorious 2 weeks ago, and Billy Horschel off his T-second last week. And then you got Jason Day, Big Vic Hovland, and then Ricky Fowler still kind of searching, Bob.
Yeah, who knows? And speaking of searching, word has it that the powers to be at Bay Hill are searching for Jay Randolph Jr. They want to give you your cart fee back. It seems like you didn't fully take advantage of that outstanding golf course that you were to play.
My friend made I birdied 17, the tough. I birdied 16 and 17.
Wow!
And my friend who was about a 14 handicap, and he really struggled that day. But on 18, he almost Gomez'd it. He almost holed out, had a tap in putt for birdie. I couldn't believe it. I went in the pro shop and I said, "Yeah, Jay Randolph Jr. I think my dad took care of it." Blah blah blah. Yeah, it'll be $50. That's the cart fee here.
And that was without a driver. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. You did lousy last week. I know you're going to do better this week. Our listeners are waiting. It's time for Jay and his DraftKings picks for the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Well, my key guy, I'm trying to shake it up so bad, I picked a guy that I probably don't want to see win. And that's Patrick Reed. But he plays too good not to pick him. And young Fitzpatrick, who always seems to, the last couple of years, has played really well at Bay Hill. Those are my two key guys. And then I'm taking a flyer, Bob, on Stenny. Henrik Stenson, who's really struggled with his game, but he's always kind of played well at Bay Hill. And maybe that Orlando juju will work well for him. Gosh, Bob, the Players is next week.
It's hard to believe. I'm going to throw a name out there. He's been a favorite of yours for a long time, and I think he's due, and I think he'd look good in that red cashmere sweater, and that's John Rahm. I'm picking John Rahm to win on Arnold Palmer's home soil down there at Bay Hill.
That's it for this week. We'll be back again next week with more analysis and wrap up the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Everybody have a great week. And, Bob, it's going to be okay.
Just before we wrap it up, taking a look at the schedule, coming up at the end of the month in Georgetown, Texas, on the 25th of March, there's going to be a special golf tournament to honor the late, great J.L. Lewis. More details will follow right here in the Grill Room. J.L., one of the true great guys ever to play the game, lost his life way too early to cancer. Just keep that date in mind, March 25th.